Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, today featuring her sister, best-selling author, speaker, and holistic physical therapist, Sally Morgan. Are you looking for a deeper connection with your animals, exploring options in alternative healing modalities, searching for training options that you feel good about? Listen now to Sally as she interviews the top experts that answer your questions to help keep your pets naturally healthy.
Hi, you are listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm Sally Morgan, Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, a holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and your host today. You can hear this show every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. And everyone listening to this show is a pet lover, and just imagine if tragedy struck and your dog or your cat could not hear and not see. How on earth would you find a way to reach them? Our guest today is my friend Debbie Bauer, who is an expert in working with dogs who are blind and deaf. I have met her over the years. She was attending the very first craniosacral class for small animals that I taught, and that shows some serious dedication. I've known her many, many years. And then she and I met again at a Tellington T-Touch class, and she is now a Tellington T-Touch practitioner. She is a holistic dog trainer and animal wellness practitioner with over 28 years of experience working with dogs and their people. Her business, Your Inner Dog, offers both in-person and online teaching and consulting, which allows her to help clients around the world. In addition, Debbie is an accomplished author with several books, articles, and a blog to her name, and she writes about her blind and deaf dogs. She is a member of the Pet Professional Guild and holds several certifications in dog training and animal wellness. Debbie met and trained her first blind and deaf dog at the beginning of her career as a dog trainer, which ignited her passion and specialty for working with dogs with special abilities. She travels the country with her sidekick, Invincible Vinny, who is a blind and deaf double merle collie, to educate and inspire others. She has been instrumental in broadening awareness about double merles and in helping others learn to reach and communicate with blind and or deaf dogs. You can visit her website at yourinnerdog.com. And I am so excited to have you here today, Debbie, to talk about blind and deaf dogs. Welcome to our show.
Oh, thank you so much, Sally. It's great to be here.
So tell us, how did you get started in this work with blind and deaf dogs? Who was your first blind dog?
My first blind and deaf dog was actually not my dog. It was a dog that lived at a kennel that I worked with for the summer, and just really opened my eyes to what she was capable of. Nobody told me at that point that you couldn't teach a blind dog to jump over a obedience jump. Nobody told me, oh, you can't teach them to, fetch a ball or something like that. And so, you know, when I was done with my kennel work during the day, I would get her out and we'd just have a great old time.
That sounds like my rabbits. I learned so much about animal intelligence by teaching rabbits dog tricks.
Oh, and yeah.
The same applies, you know, when the dog is deaf and blind, let's do the same things we do with other dogs. Sometimes it's good to not know too much. So how did you continue with that work after that inspiration from your first dog?
My first dog that I lived with that was deaf was actually born deaf, and I adopted her through a Sheltie rescue. And she taught me so much about body language and being congruent in what I was communicating to the dog. And she actually taught me to be a better agility handler because I was paying attention to my body language and what my body and my hand signals were telling her. And it really, really opened my eyes and made me a better trainer.
And that dog was deaf but not blind?
Correct.
Aha. And then what made the transition for you to start working with blind and deaf dogs that were your own dogs?
So shortly, I think maybe 2 years after I adopted Grace, I adopted Treasure. And Treasure was completely blind and deaf from birth. And I thought, oh, this will be easy, right? I already worked with this other dog so many years ago, and everything was hunky-dory. And I didn't adopt her until she was about 4 years old. She had lived outside in an outdoor pen for most of that time. and found herself in a shelter. And so she didn't know anything about living in a home or what was expected of her. She didn't know how to walk on a leash. She wasn't house trained. And so I brought her home, and I was, you know, I was so excited, and I was going to love her, and she was going to love me, and everything was going to be just wonderful. And I was driving, I remember, I was driving home, and I pulled in my driveway, and suddenly the reality hit me that here I had a dog that I didn't know anything about her, she didn't know anything about me, and she couldn't see me, and she couldn't hear me, and here I was taking her to a totally new environment for her. And what was I thinking?
Yeah, taking on a lot.
Yeah, and you know, so the reality suddenly hit me, and I had to figure out a way to communicate with her that would allow her to feel safe in her new house. And so I started teaching her different touch commands, and so I would touch her in different ways and in different places on her body to mean different things. And at first I started with just something very simple, just inside and outside, because obviously she wasn't house trained, so I was taking her in and out quite a bit. So I started with those two signs, and I would just make different gestures with my hands that were actually touching her so that she could feel that.
Can you tell us a little more about that? Exactly what did you do to say, come outside?
Sure. So I know a little bit of sign language, and so it's going to be a little hard for me to explain, I think. But it's almost as if the motion of going out for going outside is almost as if I was pulling something out from the side of her face. So I would put my hand next to the side of her face and almost just move my hand up and outward so that she could feel that movement. And that was the sign for out, but I was doing it next to her face so she could feel me.
And so did you do the come back in near her face as well?
Yes. So there's a sign for home, which is lightly touching the side of the mouth and then the side of the ear. And so I used that for, hey, we're going back into the house.
Ah, so you had to really develop your own sign language for dogs as well as train this dog. So how did it go? Was it frustrating?
In the beginning, it took a lot of effort from me to try to learn a new way of communicating. But she picked it up pretty fast. I think she was a little relieved, actually, that someone was trying to communicate with her. But for me, it was a real struggle in the beginning to remember each of the signs and try to do them exactly the same way. And what I found out is it's okay if they're not done exactly the same way. Just like with our dogs who can hear us, and we say, hey, come on, let's go outside, or we say, do you want to go outside, or let's go outside, right? It's not always exactly the same word or the same phrase.
That's right.
And it didn't need to be done exactly perfect each time. And once I realized that and that she would still understand, we really took off, and she learned all kinds of different signs. She learned one for we're going in the car. She learned, of course, mealtime. She learned all done because she did like to eat. And if I was giving her treats and I stopped, she would stand there and wait forever.
Oh.
Because she couldn't see there were no more treats. And so I had to teach her, you know, a signal for, okay, that's all, we're done, so that she would know that that was the last treat.
And did you teach her things like tricks, like sit and down and give me a paw and things like that too?
Yes. Yeah, she learned everything that she needed to learn to be a registered therapy dog. So she did basically the sit, lay down, walk on a leash, stay, come when called. And she earned her expert trick dog title. So she learned a number of different tricks. And all of these were done by touch communication.
And how did you do a recall with her from a distance?
From a distance, I would blow on her. So I started up close. I started, you know, very close to her. And I would blow lightly in her direction, and I would feed her a treat. So she would begin to associate that blowing with, hey, something good's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would move a little bit farther away, and I would blow on her, and when she took a step in my direction, you know, I would reward her. And we just worked up from there. And she actually became very skilled at it, and I could blow on her even if there was a breeze blowing outside. And it might take her a minute for her to realize that my breath was coming towards her. But she always figured it out.
Well, and part of it isn't just the sensation, it's the smell. I mean, that's the sense that we're left with that's so powerful in dogs when they can't see and hear. Can you tell us some things that you did specifically regarding the sense of smell?
Well, I did the sport of nose work with Treasure also, which is where the dogs get to search for various odors. Usually they are, you know, different oils and things, but you can use a tea bag, you could use anything that you really wanted at home, and it gives them a little fun game to play. So she really enjoyed that game. Otherwise, I didn't use scent specifically because scent does travel, so it's very hard to keep in one place. But she did know the scent of my breath blowing on her, and she definitely knew my scent, and she could follow me throughout the house and where I was going. She knew the scents of each of my dogs, and she knew which ones would allow her to lay next to them on the dog bed and which ones wouldn't, mm-hmm. or which ones might want to play with her. And she knew the smells of her different, you know, favorite toys. So she did use her sense of smell quite a bit, but I did not do anything specifically other than the nose work and the searching for scent mm-hmm. That used, you know, different smells.
Yeah, and one of the things, Debbie has a great book called Through a Dark Silence, Loving and Living with Your Blind and Deaf Dog. And one of the things that I noticed in the book that I find so interesting, because I do this with a sighted and hearing dog, which is how to show them around the house so that they know where things are so they won't run in. Can you tell us a little bit more about those, the tour you gave Treasure of the house when you brought her home?
Sure. I think with Treasure, it wasn't... you know, she was little, and I thought that she was going to stay right next to me because she couldn't see, and she was in this new environment, this new house. And so I took her into one room, and I thought, well, we'll start with one room, and we'll let her, you know, kind of explore. And I didn't expect that she would just take off in every direction, just trying to smell everything around the room. And so she started to kind of bump into things a lot because obviously this was all new to her. And so what I always recommend is that you have the dog on a leash and you just allow them to walk around the area and just explore it. But you want to try to prevent them from having, you know, a big crash into something because that can be upsetting and that can cause some fear to be associated with that room and the new home. But I always recommend take them around on a leash, and as they start to learn the different routes, so, you know, say from their dog bed to the outside and back in, and then you can start to give them a little more freedom on the leash, and they will learn. You know, they'll learn where things are, where the doorways are, things like steps. I keep the steps blocked off, and my dogs only do the steps when I'm, my blind and deaf dogs only do the steps when I'm there. Because I have a young one now that would like to run up and down and jump off the steps, and that's not really safe.
How do you teach them about steps? I know even teaching my rabbits and baby corgis to go up and down stairs was a bit of a trick. How do you teach a blind and deaf dog to go up and down stairs?
It can be challenging, and especially when they're a small dog or they're a puppy, because they may not be able to reach their leg all the way down the whole length of the stair. So I usually start to teach them to go up first. I think that's easier because they can feel, you know, if they walk right up to that bottom step, they can feel where the step is on their chest. And so they can kind of tell how high that is that they need to put their feet up to go. But think about when they're coming down and they're standing there kind of right at the edge of the drop-off, right. And they have no way to know how deep that drop-off is. So I start with going up, and I am there with them the whole time. Usually I am actually sitting on the stair next to them, and I just bump my way up the stairs with them. If you have a set of stairs that only has a few steps, sometimes that can help to just take them up a few at a time rather than an entire staircase. And when I'm teaching them to come down, I do the same thing. I sit. Usually I'll sit on the step below them so that they can come onto my lap if they want to. And that provides a little bit of security. So I'll actually have them step down onto my lap and then onto the step.
Can you give them a signal when they're at the end of the staircase? Because that can be pretty hard even for a person in the dark to know where that last step is.
I do, and actually I'm more likely to tell them when it's starting. So when they're at the bottom, I give a signal, just a little swipe up behind the ear on my current dog, and he knows that we're going up the steps. And when we're at the top of the steps and I'm going to take him down the steps, I just give a double tap of my hand on the bottom of his chest, and he knows to search with his foot for that step. Our steps here at home, he knows how many steps there are, so he will, you know, go up the right number, and then he knows, or he'll come down the right number. I swear he counts his steps. I don't know if he really does or not, but it sure seems like he does. But if we're somewhere new, I will just give him his all done signal, which is just two taps on his side to let him know that he's either gone all the way up or all the way down.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, you mentioned a little bit about Treasure being a double Merle and your current dog, Vinny, is a double Merle. What does that mean? And how is that, I know this is a cause that you have taken on. Tell us more about that.
Double Merle is a genetic term, and it means that, I'll take Vinny as an example. He's my current double Merle. Both of his parents carried the pattern for Merle. So Merle is a color pattern, and what it does is it breaks up the color of the coat. So there might be a blue Merle, which is a mottled combination of gray, white, black, and brown. And we see this commonly in some of the herding dogs. There's also a sable Merle, or a red Merle it might be called, which doesn't have that the black and the gray in it, but it has different shades of the sable in it.
Mm-hmm. And the red
ones. So because
one.
This, pardon me?
And the red ones.
Yes, there are red. I think some breeds call them red Merle and some call them sable Merle.
So is a dappled dachshund considered Merle?
Yes. Dapple is another term for Merle, but it is the same gene. Actually, it is a gene moderator. So it works on the color gene to break up this color. And when you have two dogs that are Merle that are born together, each puppy has about a 25% chance of being born with two copies of that Merle. That's why we call it double Merle. And oftentimes they are mostly white, although not always. But as that Merle breaks up the color, then you have a problem with the development of the sight and the hearing, because puppies need that in the womb in order for their eyes and ears to develop properly. So this is why Vinny is mostly white, because he's had most of that color taken out of his coat, and he's also blind and deaf. Now, most double Merles are born with a vision and or a hearing impairment. So not all of them are born completely blind and deaf. Vinny just happened, that's how the dice rolled for him.
So some of them can see somewhat and hear somewhat, or are some sighted and some hearing?
So you might have a dog that can hear out of one ear and not the other. You might have a dog that has a very slight visual impairment to the point that you really can't even tell. You might have a dog that maybe doesn't see very well in bright sunlight, or as it starts to get darker. You could have a dog that has only a visual impairment or only a hearing impairment, or you can have dogs with any variety all the way up to being totally blind and deaf.
And what percentage of them can you guesstimate would be totally blind and deaf? Is it a small number or a pretty big proportion?
You know, I don't really I don't really know that there is a number that I have read that I can give you. I would say most of the ones I see are probably deaf as opposed to being blind and deaf.
Mm-hmm. Like the Dalmatian.
Yes, well, the Dalmatian has the deafness runs there too, but it's not the same because it's not, Dalmatians do not come in Merle.
Right.
So there are other genes, there's other genetic makeups that can cause deafness as well.
It's so interesting to me, though, that the coat color, the tissue that develops into the central nervous system also is the tissue that we get our hair from. And so that the coat color can have that association with some of the sensory nerves in the cranial system, you know, the cranial nerves for hearing and sight. So it really, when we try to breed animals of a particular color, we just don't know what a dangerous place we're going to. And, yeah, I mean, the Merle coat color is really valued by some people. We're just about ready to take another break here and hear from our sponsors. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of our show. Stay tuned for more information from Debbie Bauer about blind and deaf dogs and how to train them.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pet's health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, Pure New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand Deer Antler Velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hello, and welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on Dream Vision 7 Radio.com. And I'm your host, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan. And I'm here with my guest today, Debbie Bauer, who is the author of Through a Dark Silence, Loving and Living with Your Blind and Deaf Dog. Debbie, I've had the pleasure of meeting your dog, Vinny. Can you tell us more about him?
Of course. Who doesn't like to talk about their dog? Vinny is a 2-year-old rough-coated collie, and I adopted him. Actually, I kind of foster failed him. We saved, we meaning the Humane Society, we saved Vinny and his sister, who was also a double merle. When they were about 7 weeks old, the breeder did not understand about not breeding 2 merles together and ended up with 2 double merles in the litter.
No.
And really, I mean, they loved these puppies. They paid attention to them. They socialized them. You know, they got them vet care. It wasn't that they were a bad breeder. They were just uninformed. And they were left with these puppies. Here's these 2 puppies now that are blind and deaf. And they just couldn't wrap their heads around what their lives would be like. And so here they were, and they were discussing with the vet what their future would be and whether they needed to make a decision to euthanize or not. And so the Humane Society stepped in, and we took Vinny and his sister, and they both came home with me, and I fostered them. And not long after that, the sister found her own good home, and I thought, you know, I have enough dogs here at my house. I'd really like for Vinny to find his own family. And so I waited, and I kept fostering him, and I kept fostering him, and pretty soon it just became became obvious that he wasn't going anywhere. And so he is here. He's a member of the family, and he is just an amazing dog. He has his certification as a therapy dog, and we travel the country, and we give presentations, and we do demonstrations. We talk about safe breeding practices and not breeding merle to merle. And we show everyone that dogs with disabilities can make just as wonderful of a family companion as ones without. And so he inspires people, and I hope that by our example that many more people are going out and giving specially abled dogs, you know, a chance to be adopted.
What would you say to someone who wants to adopt a blind and deaf dog, or one that is only blind or only deaf?
I think the most important thing is to open your mind to the possibilities. I think a lot of times we, as humans, look at the situation as if it was happening to us. So we look at it through our perspective, and we think, oh my goodness, what would it be like if I couldn't see or if I couldn't hear? And we tend to feel sorry for the animal and put limits on what we think that they are capable of. And, you know, living with Vinny has shown me, you know, he can do everything that all my other dogs can do. He just happens to not be able to see or hear. He can, you know, go on hikes. He can travel with me. He can get used to a new hotel room in about 2 minutes. He can play basketball. I mean, he can do all of these amazing things. But someone looking at him and finding out for the first time that he's blind and deaf, they would have no idea that he was capable of doing those things. So I think it's important to know that this is a dog first, you know, and they have all the needs that other dogs need, all the wants that other dogs want, and then look at what is the dog's ability. You know, if it's a dog that you're considering adopting that can't see, talk to, you know, wherever the dog is, talk to the foster home, talk to the rescue, talk to the shelter. Find out, what are the dog's capabilities? You know, what is the dog going to need special, if anything? Maybe they don't need anything special. Maybe it's a dog that can't do stairs. You know, those are things that you need to find out when you're thinking about adopting. Make sure that your area, your space, is safe. So if you're taking in a dog that's blind, you want to make sure that you have your pool is fenced off. The dog can't, you know, fall into your pool or into a lake or down the stairs. You just want to set some management for your environment to, you know, create safety there. But I would say,
in terms of your household, are there any particular recommendations you have to create a safe household for a dog who can't see?
So I use gates for stairs. If you have drop-offs, some people have those beautiful balconies in their houses
mm-hmm.
with a railing. You want to make sure that, the dog's not able to fit through that railing. And you
right.
can add like a netting around there if you need to. And they also sell I can't think of what the name is, but they sell different things that attach to a dog's harness that keep them from getting through the slats in a fence or a gate.
Oh, right.
And I'm sorry, I can't think of the name of that right now. But that might be a possibility also. If you have very slick floors, putting down carpet runners or, you know, some kind of traction will definitely help. And that will also help the blind dog to be able to navigate your house because they feel things through the bottom of their feet. So they feel the different surfaces.
One thing we do with dogs with degenerative myelopathy is use yoga mats as runners around the house because they're cleanable when the dog has no bowel and bladder control, and they feel different than the rest of the house, so the dog does have more traction and can use them as runways, sort of.
Right, that's a great idea. But they will learn different surfaces, so they will learn if you have a little stone walkway or brick walkway in your yard, that leads back up to the door, the dog will learn that the difference between that walkway and the grass, and they'll learn how to navigate. It's really pretty amazing to watch them feel with their feet for where they're going.
Yeah, watching your dog Vinny and Treasure go through the T-Touch confidence course is pretty impressive. That we have, you know, other dogs, of course you work with them a lot, we have other dogs that are new to it who are just terrified to be in the ladder or on different surfaces or get lost in the labyrinth. And to see how patiently and quietly your dogs go through completely unfamiliar things is really impressive.
Oh, well, thank you. It's not, you know, first of all, they were born blind and deaf, so they've had more practice than a dog that would suddenly, say, lose their sight or their hearing. And so it's very important for people, if your dog is losing a sense, to realize that it's going to take a little bit of time. There's going to be a transition period there for the dog, but also for you and for the rest of the family, because it's almost like you have to go through a grieving process.
Right.
You know, I have an older dog right now, and he's lost his hearing, and his sight is kind of starting to fade a little bit. And it's, you know, you have to learn a whole new way of communicating with this family member that, you know, maybe you used to say a word and the dog understood, and now you need to learn a whole new way of communicating, and they need to learn a whole new way of communicating as well.
So that brings us up to the idea of SARDS dogs. These are dogs that go blind suddenly in midlife. They also have a host of other physical problems. So what would you say to the person, the caretaker, that's with a dog who has become suddenly blind and maybe only 5 years old, which is pretty typical with this problem? Do you have any advice for that person?
Yeah, I'd say first, you know, allow yourself to grieve, because I think that's very important. And give the dog some time before you start to think in your mind, you know, well, is there going to be any quality of life? Is there, you know, is it kinder for the dog not to be living anymore? You have to give them some time to adjust before you can really make those decisions. So safety first. Set up your environment. A lot of times with a dog that has suddenly gone blind, giving them a smaller environment will certainly help instead of them having the run of the house. Give them a secure spot that's theirs and has their bed and their toys and their bowls and things that they know that are familiar to them, so that they can start to map out the area in little steps. Because remember, they're used to just walking through the house with visual information.
Right.
And suddenly that's gone. So they need to learn to re-navigate and collect information from their environment in a different way.
Yeah, and one of the things I recommend to my clients the person needs an adjustment period, once they adjust, is to give them ideas about what they can do with their dogs to keep them engaged in the world so that they aren't afraid. And I think part of the time the dog picks up on the person's fear and concern. So I recommend those puzzles with treats in them and some other things. What kinds of ideas do you have for a newly blind dog to stay engaged in his environment and have some mental stimulation?
Yes, I love those puzzle toys. Those are great. And I like snuffle mats as well, which are those fabric mats that you can sprinkle treats in, and the dogs snuffle around and get them out. Dogs that you can encourage them to use their nose and their sense of smell. For dogs that like to be outside, I really just like to go out and just sit with them on a long leash and just let them gain confidence in exploring little bits at a time. Things that they might have enjoyed doing before, you know, I hear a lot of times from people, oh, my dog loved to chase his toys and this is so sad and now he's blind and he can't chase his toys. I can tell you my blind and deaf dog Vinny loves his toys and he will chase toys. Now it doesn't look the same as my dog that can see chasing a toy. You know, I toss it close to him. I toss it so it will touch him in the beginning so that he gets that the sense of playing and catching that toy.
Right.
He doesn't care if it's sailing across the yard. You know, the excitement is in the catching. So if your dog still has, you know, if they have favorite toys, play with them with the dog, but play with them in a different way. Vinny likes to play tug with his toys, and so he likes the toy to be touching him as I move it back and forth so he can feel it and he can catch it and have that game of catch.
Right.
If you're going to do that, though, get a long toy. You know, they have all these really long stuffed animal toys now or long tug toys that will allow your hand to be on one end and the dog to grab the other because obviously they can't see. So it's going to take a little bit of practice for you and the dog to learn to play together so they're not grabbing your hand by accident.
That's some good advice, boy. And I, my clients with blind dogs, I have them play with squeaky toys that are pretty loud when they land so that the little blind dog, A, gets excited by the squeaking and then can hear where it is and find it and not go too far from where they are standing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's time for another break to hear from our sponsors. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets with your host, physical therapist for pets and people, Sally Morgan, and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister. And we are on DreamVision7Radio.com. We'll be back in a few moments with more from our guest, Deb Bauer, a blind dog.
Interested in learning more? Visit physical therapist Sally Morgan's website at sallymorganpt.com, where you will find details about her upcoming speaking engagements, craniosacral therapy, and Tellington T-Touch offerings, as well as information about holistic care for animals. Join the mailing list today and be the first to learn about upcoming events and special offers. Sally Morgan is a best-selling author, and her book, Dances of the Heart, Connecting with Animals, details her journey of learning to listen to animals. Her unique set of animal connection cards offers 52 activities to enhance your relationships with the animals in your life, and she suggests that you ask your pet to choose a card each week. Both Sally's book and her cards are available on Amazon and her website, sallymorganpt.com. Join Sally Morgan PT CST Daily on Facebook for conversations with a corgi and visit YouTube for past episodes as well as Sally's TED Talk. When it comes to our pet's health, you can never be too careful. We invest significant time in ensuring that they have long and happy lives, but it's important to invest the same dedication into our own longevity. The key active ingredient in Dr. Morgan's wellness formula, pure New Zealand deer antler velvet, is now available as a standalone human-grade product. Life Deer Antler Velvet is a whole food supplement rich in calcium and collagen to support healthy joints and strong bones. Our products prioritize purity, ethical harvesting, and quality sourcing above all else. Visit LifePureRecovery.com to learn more and order your first bottle today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, and I'm holistic physical therapist and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister, Sally Morgan. And we're here with my guest, Debbie Bauer, author of Through a Dark Silence, Loving and Living with Your Blind and Deaf Dog. And before our break, Debbie, we were talking about some toys for dogs that are blind, particularly dogs with SARDs who are newly blind. Can you tell us more about some other toys that you recommend?
Sure. There are toys that are made that make all kinds of noises, and I have some here in the toy box. I actually don't know what company they are, but you squeeze them and they like make animal noises continuously for about a minute, or they make like giggling noises, those kinds of things. Those are really great because as they land, they continue to make the noise. So you can squeeze them and make the noise for the dog and get them excited, and then toss them a little bit. You know, you don't want to toss them too far. Toss them a little ways away, and they continue to make the noise. And blind dogs that can hear can learn to follow that noise, so they can learn to chase the toys in that way as well.
Any other suggestions for what to do with your newly diagnosed blind dog?
Oh, I think it's important to teach them that touch is a safe thing. And if you haven't already, play touch games with your dog. So touch them and give them a treat or pet them. You know, you want something wonderful to happen every time you touch your dog. And for a lot of us who have a dog that can see and hear, we don't think about that because the dog can see us reaching for them or they can
right,
hear.
You don't want to surprise them and have them become nippy.
Right, right. So just taking some time, and they're fun games to play because you're giving your dog things that they love. So I start when the dog is aware of me being there. I don't want to surprise them. And I touch, and I might feed a treat and a little bit of baby talk and, you know, rub them a little bit. And then I take my hands off, and then I touch again, and I, you know, give a treat and a little bit of baby talk, and things are wonderful, maybe a little belly rub, so that they learn to expect something wonderful every time they're touched. And this is really important because if they don't see you or your neighbor, say if you're on a walk with the dog, your neighbor reaches out to touch your dog, sometimes they forget. Even if you tell them, sometimes they forget that your dog's blind and they can't see the hand coming towards them.
That's
so
right.
It's important to teach your dog that being touched is a good thing. And sometimes when they go blind, we need to remind them of that. And actually, I have a dog, my older dog has gone deaf. I had to remind him of that also because he was startling more because he wasn't waking up by hearing me. And so if he got touched or bumped, he would jump up and kind of be afraid. So it just took a few minutes every day of reviewing for maybe a couple weeks. I touch you, something wonderful happened, and now he doesn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good advice. What else do you have to suggest for someone who maybe has a senior dog whose vision and hearing are both diminished and they are starting to have a harder time navigating the world?
Yeah, that's really tough for us as their people, isn't it, to watch them getting a little bit older. the traction on the floor is really, really important as their mobility starts to decline a little bit, because you don't want them to slip and have an injury and then be in pain and everything else. But I try to, as I know my dog's getting a little bit older, you might notice you say their name or you ask them to do something and they might not respond, and you might think, oh, you know, he didn't hear me, and you say it again. But this starts to happen over and over, and so you start to think, oh, maybe he's losing his hearing. So I would start to go ahead and teach some hand signals for things that we do every day, like let's go outside, let's, you know, it's time to eat, let's play a game. Just very basic. You just pick a hand signal, and you just use it every time, and the dog will get used to that, and by the time their hearing is gone, you still have a way to communicate with them. The same thing if you notice that.
Have you got a thought about like using clicker training for this, or just giving a treat with the signal when they do it? Is that just as effective?
Well, I think clicker training is a great tool, and my dogs already know about clicker training before they get to the point that they're losing their sight and their hearing. But with an older dog, if your dog's going deaf, you need to have a visual marker to use as your clicker,
right?
Because they eventually won't be able to hear it. And if your dog's also losing vision, even that visual marker eventually will not be of much use. So using a marker, a clicker of any kind, that's great. I love that. But I'm not married to it. So, you know, I just giving a treat can work just fine. With a clicker, you kind of have to worry about your timing. A lot of people that I work with,
and it's hard to touch your dog when you're trying to hold the clicker and give them the treat.
Right. But they will learn, you know, they learn from consequences. So if something great is happening, they will learn, you know, that that's a good thing, and you want them to repeat that. And if you notice that your dog's vision is fading and they can still hear, of course, use any of the senses that they still have. So you can still be talking to them, clapping your hands when you want them to come to you. If you're calling them to come to you, make sure the noise that you're making, whether you're using your voice or clapping your hands, that you continue that noise until they come all the way to you. If you stop too soon, they may not know where you are. So just keep the noise going until they get to you. Also, if you're taking them out on a walk and your dog's losing sight, they may appreciate you talking with them or humming a little tune, or even just having a jingle bell on your shoe or your wrist, so that they can kind of hear where you are and that you're still there with them.
That's also more good advice. And one of the things I've done in the past with an old dog to ask them to come when they really couldn't hear or see well was stomp on the ground, and they could follow the vibration if they were only maybe 10 feet away from me. It's so important to be creative when you have a dog with a disability like that.
Definitely.
Can you tell us, are blind and deaf dogs, you think, capable of having a good quality of life? Can you reassure listeners who may have a dog in that situation, or one that is only deaf or only blind?
Yeah, I think that they are capable of having an amazing quality of life. You know, Vinny is so happy. He's always smiling. His tail's always wagging. He comes to work with me. He travels with me. He plays games. He goes hiking. But these are not things that he can really do on his own. So it's up to me as his person to create this quality of life for him. And so if I just sat around and said, oh, my poor dog is blind and deaf, and I felt sorry for him and I didn't allow him these opportunities, then maybe his quality of life wouldn't be as good as it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Yeah, one of my blind client dogs travels a lot with her dog, and she goes to the same hotels, and the people there always have treats ready for the little dog, and they take care of her so that she's not alone in the room because she doesn't want her to be nervous, so she gets to sit behind the desk at one of those big pets, and the person also has a vacation home, and the dog loves being there. The smells are so different because it's at the beach from where she is here. So, you know, that dog has, and now she's on a raw diet, so her quality of life is actually quite improved since she went blind.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, you know, I think it's important. I think sometimes we look at things from our perspective, and we think, oh my gosh, if I lost my sight, you know, how miserable would my life be? And dogs aren't like that. Dogs don't sit around and say, oh my gosh, you know, I could see yesterday and my life is worthless now. Dogs aren't like that. Dogs wake up every day and they're happy to be with us, and they're ready to get on with the day, you know. And even if the blindness is a new thing and your dog is sitting there unsure and uncertain, it's not going to be like that forever. You know, this is an adjustment period. And the more things that you can do with your dog, and the more you can build their confidence and allow them to have fun and to explore, like you said, explore the new smells and do as much of what they have enjoyed doing as possible, they can have an amazing quality of life. And they can, you know, Treasure was 12 when she passed away. And so she had these 12 years of being both blind and deaf, and she accomplished and had more fun than a lot of dogs that I know.
Boy, that's the truth. And I think that's part of the advice that people with blind or deaf dogs need to really understand, is that you can now dictate the quality of life that your dog can have. And if you're sitting around being depressed, you know, you're not helping your dog. And a blind or deaf dog still wants to explore, still wants to do all the things dogs want to do. And it's just a challenge for you to find those puzzle toys and the snuffle toys, and, you know, to remember to block off the staircase, and maybe go from a collar to a harness so that your dog can really be aware of you when you're walking, or put a bell on you, like you said. I know some people that had a big Labrador that was blind, and they put peppermint on a rubber toy and threw it way out into the ocean, and that dog, being a Labrador, loved to swim, and she would run out there and get the toy and bring it back, and because peppermint is so stinky, she could still smell it an hour later, and she was thrilled.
That is
so
wonderful.
And to be in the water, you know, you're not running into anything. The joy she had just to be able to swim and know which direction to go was such a wonderful thing to see. Can you tell us more about some ideas of fun things you can do with blind dogs and deaf dogs that people wouldn't think of? Like you mentioned nose work earlier. Tell us more about how to get into that, and, you know, therapy work and trick work.
Well, there are various organizations now that offer scent work trials, and so you can actually go and earn titles. Most, if not all of them, do allow blind dogs to compete, but you don't have to compete to have fun with doing it. So you would just teach your dog to search for whatever scent that you want, or if you don't want to use a scent, you can just teach them to search out treats.
Exactly.
And this is how I started with Treasure, because she loved to eat. So I would take little pieces of meatball or, you know, meat, cheese, things that were smelly, and I just taught her. First, I would put several empty boxes out on the floor, and I would teach her just to find which box had the food in it, and of course, once she found it, she was allowed to eat it. But then you can start to hide it around the room and create little trails for them to follow. Those are really fun. There is an organization called Do More With Your Dog, and they really welcome any dog, no matter what the abilities are. But they have different trick dog titles that you can get in different levels. Those are fun. Or just doing tricks for your neighbors, for the little, you know, your grandkids or
yeah,
or whoever.
Parties.
Tricks are a wonderful way to spend time quality time with your dog and to have both of you have fun. But they're also really good for body awareness and for keeping your dog fit, depending on what tricks they are. It takes a lot of muscles for a dog to be rolling over or sitting up and looking cute, you know, in a begged position or anything like that. Therapy work, both of my blind and deaf dogs have been of suitable temperament to do that. Not all dogs are going to enjoy doing therapy work because they have to really enjoy being touched all over by people that they don't know and going to new environments and things like that. If that's something that your dog enjoys, search out groups. There might be local groups in your area. There are national therapy dog groups, and a lot of them have training that you can take your dog to, and they'll teach you what you and your dog need to know in order to do that. But that's a wonderful activity where you can go and visit.
Such good advice. You know, don't think that your life with your dog is over just because he is blind and deaf. There are reading groups for dogs and many other therapy things you can do with a dog in this situation. And unfortunately, we are out of time. And I want to remind everyone that Debbie Bauer's book is Through a Dark Silence, Loving and Living with Your Blind and Deaf Dog. It's available on her website and on Amazon, and her website is yourinnerdog.com. She has a wealth of information there, so do check it out. And until next week, thanks for listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. Today with your host, Sally Morgan, holistic physical therapist for pets and people, and Dr. Judy Morgan's sister on dreamvision7radio.com.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.